Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you right now young Donovan. He's 11. The problem we're facing right now is we're losing our children. Fathers, we need you. Can you feel me? Just like me, yes. Every time you took a picture with you and your family, it was only two people. It was supposed to be three. It was supposed to be me asking.
Why the sky blue when I grow up, I wanna be.
Good morning, welcome to our program. You're listening to Free on the Inside, hosted by Minister Joel Lewis, come to you each Saturday morning with great guests talking about ministry and about ministry. You just heard a opening of our song this morning that said it takes a whole nation. I truly believe that, because if it wasn't for you, it wouldn't be me. Someone told me about the goodness of God. Someone told me that God had plans for me. Someone told me that I wasn't the head and not the tail. And in turn, they say, hey, now, what I told you and what I shared with you about the goodness of God, you go and share it with someone else. But sometimes I'm being challenged with that. Sometimes I just don't know how to do it. But guess what? I realized that I don't have to do it on my own, that I have a Heavenly Father that goes before me, and He prepares the way. It takes a whole nation. Matter of fact, it takes a whole community to set things right in order. You know, as we go through life, we find out that we are being challenged and pushed and faces challenges at each and every turn. But yet, God have men and women in place to make a difference in our lives, and that we can make a difference in the lives of our family here. We pray that you're being blessed by what you hear today. We pray that you've been encouraged, that you too have a desire to be about our Father's business. And we would like to make mention that this show is sponsored by Granny's Place Ministry. Granny Place Ministry is a 501(c) ministry. We have a beautiful website. I encourage you to go to the website and see what Granny's Place Ministry is up to. That's grannyplaceministry.org. And we also have some phone numbers that's on that site. Get those numbers to call, talk to the volunteer, talk to our program director and manager, also Beverly Beasley. She sponsored this program each and every week. And so find out what God is up to in the lives of His people. But without any further delay, we'd like to bring to you this morning our guest is Minister Michael Flemings. He's going to come on here and he's going to give us an update on what he's been doing in the ministry and encourage us to be about our Father's business. Good morning, Minister Flemings. You're on the net.
Good morning, Ms. Lewis. How are you?
I'm doing great. God bless you. Thank you for being a guest once again. You know, you're no stranger to this program. I love for you to come on here from time to time and to give us an update and to encourage us that we could be more than the world said that we could be in ministry. And so what do we have on the agenda for today?
Well, you know, when you invited me to come on this morning and talk about some of the things that I'm involved in the Metroplex, I had to sit down and give some thought to it. And then I was listening to your introduction where you talked about taking the nation. And the Spirit of God put something on my heart, because that word take is a powerful word, because it implies having power or the ability to impact. And that brought up a word that I've been hearing quite a bit over the last 2 or 3 months, and that's transformation. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be reborn or regenerated through a transformational process by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to do two things. One is to give us knowledge, as Jesus says that he shall teach you all things that are true. Okay? And he shall give you power from on high, the ability to actually carry out the mission or the commission that God has given us. And that's to make disciples of all men by teaching them what God, through his Spirit and his Word, has taught us. So, transformational power, the ability of Christians to actually make a difference in the world. And I'm thinking about, what is God's chosen vehicle? And the chosen vehicle is the church, those of us who believe and who follow Christ. And we should be able to take not only the nation, but we should be able to take cities and communities. And so I want to share a little bit about some of the things that I think must be done in order for that to take place. You also mentioned the word community. And I think that's what Christianity is all about. It's forming a new family, a family of God's people, who then create communities of like-minded individuals who believe that we can make a difference, who believe that people and lives matter, and who believe that by stepping out, one person can actually form a coalition and create opportunities to usher in what we call the life that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to share with you some of the things. They're not really new, but new to those who are not aware of what's going on in the community. And, you know, programs such as yours give us the opportunity to share the good work that's being done by people all over the world and even here in our own backyard. One of the things I've talked about before has been, you know, Texas Home Initiative, which is a program that was sponsored by Bernice Johnson, and it's being carried out by the Baylor School of Social Work and the Texas Department of Human Services in collaboration with faith-based organizations. And the whole focus of this is to address the fact that, you know, we have almost 500,000 people here in Dallas County alone who are what we call food insecure and who actually worry about how they will put food on their table each day. Now, for some of us, it's kind of hard to believe. Yeah. But we have about 179,000 children here in Dallas, or Dallas County, who go to bed hungry every day because of a lack of food. And so the hunger solutions is an attempt to bring together various faith-based organizations, and nonprofits, the business community, the health community, and other service agencies, as well as governmental entities, to actually begin to discuss, identify, and implement programs and services that can address this food insecurity and to ensure that no child goes hungry. And we have about what we call six tried and true solutions that we offer to faith-based organizations and communities who want to make the church relevant to people in the community. One of the things that's coming up right now is that we're going to be having our fourth annual Dallas Hunger Summit. And that's going to be September the 25th. And it's going to be held at First Presbyterian Church here in Dallas. You know, we're inviting individuals and organizations and churches to attend and help us begin to mobilize our resources and pool our talents together so that we can begin to address this staggering need here. Okay? The summit, its focus of design is to bring about a better understanding of some of the issues associated with hunger and poverty in the area, and to illustrate some of the ways that we can begin to partner with others to have a maximum impact on reducing hunger among children and families, and also our seniors here in Dallas County. And you're going to have some representatives from nonprofit organizations and experts who are going to be talking about the opportunities. And you can come, you can learn about what faith-based communities are doing and the programs that they've implemented. We can look at how you can help increase the capacity of our school districts to provide healthy foods during the after-school programming. And the after-school programming is something I really want to talk about in more detail in a few minutes.
All right, Mr. Fleming, before you go any further, do you have a location for that summit that's coming up? Because that's some great information there. We don't want anyone to be able to miss out on that. And give us the date and that location once again.
Okay. The date is September 25th, okay? And the time is from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It will be held at the First Presbyterian Church of Dallas, which is located at 1835 Young Street.
Okay.
And we really encourage you and your church or your nonprofit to come out and participate in the discussion and help to define the challenges that confront our seniors and our children and help us to identify ways that we can start things like urban gardens and how we can transform vacant lots into farms. Many of the things that we're talking about are actually being done in various parts of the city, and especially in South Dallas, as we attempt to empower people by helping them to recognize that they themselves can actually make a difference and improve the quality of their lives by coming together and utilizing the talents and the tools and the resources that are available in our neighborhoods. Okay. Some of the speakers at the summit are going to be, obviously, our United States Congresswoman, Eddie Bernice Johnson. We're going to have Dr. Timothy Bray, and he's the director of the Institute for Urban Policy Research from the University of Texas at Dallas. Jim Pruitt, who is the CEO for the North Texas Food Bank. And we know that the North Texas Food Bank plays a vital role in helping organizations to meet the various needs that people have around food. So that's one of the things that we're really involved in, and that churches can participate with little or no cost involved in addressing the needs within their various communities and other geographical locations. Okay. Excuse me. Now, I think it's important to understand that to really transform our nation, our cities and our communities, that we have to do a better job of recognizing that what we can accomplish individually pales in comparison to what can be accomplished when we come together collectively. The Bible talks about God can take one and route 1,000, takes two and route 10,000. He's telling us that there's a great reward for the work and labor of two or more. And so if we can coalesce, begin to create venues and find ways to encourage individuals and organizations to do a better job of working together, setting aside our own individual agendas and territorial strifes and power grabs, and look at how we can come together to make a collective impact. One of the organizations that I've been working with the last 4 or 5 months is an organization called Unite Greater Dallas, and specifically an arm of this organization called Unite the Churches. And the impact or the mission is to find ways of working to create or strengthen our, you know, collective impact so that we can address some of the, you know, the serious problems that we're having here in the metropolitan area, and to equip individuals and organizations with the tools necessary to help people to transition from places of poverty to places of abundance. We've taken a survey and identified that there are over 2,700 churches in the city of Dallas alone. That is an outstanding number.
Yes, that is.
And if we can begin to find ways to bring those organizations together, what can we accomplish for the cause of Christ? And what can we accomplish for the people?
And you know, Mr. Fleming, if you were sharing that there, I remember when I was a child, as a young adult, I would go around to the church from time to time because our parents didn't have the means to feed us on a regular basis. Sometimes we were just a little short with items that we need at the house for groceries, I'm going to put it that way. And we would go down to the church and we would get a food basket or something from the church, and that church was our first our safety net, you know. And we would go there, and the church had an open arm, and we attended the church occasionally, but it wasn't our regular church, but they was there to support us. And people didn't preach to us and didn't belittle us. They just gave us the things that we needed at such a time. And I think so much of how the church has stood in the gap and for the peoples that are less fortunate now. And we ain't got away from it, but it just isn't enough of that going on. And I like what you're saying, and uniting the churches there, because there's a great need. And that, you know, and there's a lot more than just feeding and clothing people that's involved in this. Sometimes people get it all wrong. Say, well, they just want some food or they want some clothes. No, that's not. That's soul salvation now. That's ministry.
Yeah. And you know, I think sometimes, you know, we feel, you know, as individuals and as Christians, we really feel inept, that we are not equipped and that we lack the knowledge and the ability to really go out and make a difference. And sometimes I'm saddened when I think about the fact that, you know, we live in a state that oftentimes is considered to be what we call the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yes.
Down here in Stockton, Texas, right?
Yeah, we have
literally thousands and thousands of churches. You know, it's hard to travel anywhere and not encounter at least one or more churches about every block. Okay? But when you actually begin to stop and ask, what is the impact? What is the relevancy of these churches? We see little power. And that's because sometimes I don't think that we believe. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is not anything really new, Minister Joel. It's trying to awaken and revive, because the things that we want to do are the things that God has called the church to do since its inception.
And that's so true.
History in the Bible, you look at the social movements that took place in the world, and especially in this country, at the forefront was the church. The movement by Martin Luther King and other faith leaders of God, who saw a need, saw the injustice, saw the oppression that deprived people of the resources that they needed, and took a stand and recognized that the only power we lack is the ability to realize the power we have and our failure to utilize it. And so sometimes we need to be reminded, because God said, well, there's no vision, the people perish. And so we have to remind people, create a vision, so people can begin to actually see and realize what they can do. And then we have to do something that sometimes I think we fail to talk about in our churches, and that's create an infrastructure. So somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, well, what do you mean by infrastructure? Well, think how difficult it would be to build a house without infrastructure, to have communities without infrastructure. Infrastructure is what we call foundational issues and the things that you need to not only build, but to sustain a growing, a thriving community. For instance, in our black neighborhoods, oftentimes we either lack or have poor infrastructure. The things that are necessary, like adequate public services and parks and libraries and stores, all the things that make up a neighborhood or community. Just think about it. The only thing we had in our community were houses and nothing else. What would the quality of life be?
You know what, Madison Flip, you hit on something there. We have those things, but we don't have black entrepreneurs or the people that live in those communities operating those facilities or even running them. They have them, but all the money, we know we had a guest on some time ago that saying that all the money at a given time will leave out of the community because we taking all our resources and spend it at the store that's not investing back in the community. So you said something there.
Yeah. And so the same thing applies to social services and what we call transformational communities. If we're going to try, see, one of the things that you do is you try to inform people about what's going on in the community, that God is at work. God never sleeps nor slumbers. And God works through people, okay, and so that there are things happening that sometimes we may not be aware of.
Yes,
and
so true.
So your program informs, enlightens, and educates, which gives people hope and the recognition that something is being done, therefore something can be done. So now the issue is, how do we create an infrastructure that actually provides the vehicle or the foundation or the means for churches to come together? When you look at the Bible, in the book of Acts, you read about Paul under the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit going on missionary journeys, establishing churches throughout the Roman world or empire. Okay, and all those churches, even though they were diverse, geographically separated, were connected because the same tentacles ran through all those churches, and they were working to meet the needs of people, not just in their own immediate community, but people throughout the Christian world. You see people in Thessalonica sending food to people in Jerusalem during times of famine, and so on and so forth. So we have the model, okay? But we need to create the infrastructure and the means by which we can begin to bring together these 2,000 plus churches so that we can begin to better plan and to make better use of our individual resources. Okay? And when we do that, we can begin to impact the whole city by having the whole church. We tend to have what we call individualized church, or my church and your church, and we're only concerned about the people in our church building or our church members. and don't recognize that God didn't create no schism. He says, let there be no division. And he fully intended for all the churches collectively to come together in the corporate body of Christ. He is the head, and we are the hands, the feet, the heart that makes up the body. And no part can work and survive individually alone. And so that's the concept that we're trying to accomplish here. And, you know, and it's not, you know, anything that's earth-shattering, although it can have earth-shattering potential, but it's to help us recognize that individually we can accomplish some things. Collectively, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And so we can create things like peer groups. And I like the word peer groups because it implies that we're all the same. Okay? They're peers. You know, we may be first among equals. It means that we're all at the same level. Okay? We all have the same commission. Okay? And so we can begin to come together. And then helping to identify and communicate, you know, the kinds of strategic services that are needed. And then the training that's required. For instance, I know you've been actively involved in addressing some of the needs around the homeless and those who have been formerly incarcerated. And we know that there are services that are needed to help these individuals transition from these places of poverty into a place of abundance. But oftentimes we fail to realize that just because you want to do something doesn't mean that you're adequately trained and equipped to do that very job. And so we need to do a better job in finding ways to equip people for the ministries. How do you work with people with mental illness and people who have been homeless for extended periods of time? What are some of the ways that we can impact people who are trying to be reintegrated into our communities after having been incarcerated and so forth? So that's important. And so if we want to strengthen individuals, then we have to strengthen and develop a shared system, a way of working together with infrastructure and the tools and resources that we can come and tap into and draw from as the need arises. And so Unite the Church is a very important vehicle that is about 6 months into its birth, and we meet usually about once a month, and we try to encourage the various churches to identify someone to serve as a representative so that we can help one another understand what churches' individual needs and challenges are, and to find ways of getting them the things that they need to actually become relevant and to make a difference within their communities. One of the things that we have been working on is understanding the power of prayer. And we have this initiative called He Prayed for City, using the number four. And we have some events, you know, that are coming up over the next 365 days that involve you know, discipleship, you know, unified prayer times, and strategic literature and information on how we can begin to form you know, local prayer groups and so forth, and to underscore the importance of prayer in our community.
You know, as you were sharing, I was just thinking how better equipped and how effective the ministry would be if people had had tools to work with, because, you know, you have a desire to go out. And but yet, sometimes you don't know what it takes. You know, as I started doing street ministry and jail ministry, I didn't have all the tools. I wasn't equipped to do the task at hand. But God led me to other men and women that had a good foundation. You spoke earlier about having a good foundation. I encourage everyone that's been called of God to be used by God to get you a good foundation, get you a platform for one plants one waters, but God get an increase. Michael, my friend, Minister Fleming, we don't have to do this alone. I'm glad that you're saying the coalition of churches there, because we don't have to do this thing alone. God has put many men and women in place to have that same desire, that same passion that we have. And sometimes we feel like that we're out there by ourselves. I think about the prophet that just got through defeating the prophets of Baal. And he went up on the mountain, he started crying. He said, "Lord, you left me out here all by myself." God said, "Wait a minute. There's 3,000 more men just like you that hadn't bowed their knee." You know, I will encourage you. And all that are listening, there are many, many more people out here that are feeding, that is working in the community, that is working with juveniles, working with ex-offenders. You're not alone. Get with you somebody that's doing the same thing for the kingdom. You know, our logo said, "Help change a life in Jesus' name." And I love that, brother. Because the only way we could do it is in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of times people say, "Well, what do you mean?" I say, "Hey, in Jesus' name." We can't do this apart from God. And I like what you're saying here, because you're really hitting on some key points here. How we ought to be about strengthening our community. We ought to be about strengthening men and women's lives and reconnecting them. You said earlier about transformation, and I did a message some time ago about being not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We're not trying to conform anybody to do the right thing, but we want to transform you to do the right thing, but do the right thing from God, because that's a transformation. That means that as old things are gone away. The old homelessness, the old alcoholism, the old reoccurring criminal activity, those things are gone. You've been transformed. But not only transformed, but you also been equipped and encouraged to help someone else. That's what I do, man. Exactly. I help people, but I say, "Hey, you need to help someone else. You may not ever see me again. Our time here may come to an end, but what I've been doing in your life, I want you to do for someone else. Because guess what? Someone did it for me."
Exactly.
Someone prayed for me when I couldn't pray for myself, and when I didn't have enough insight or knowledge to pray for myself. Someone prayed for me. And that's what Jesus done. He said, "Hey, Father, I pray for all those that come unto me, that you keep a hedge of protection around them. You let no hurt, harm, and danger fall on them. And then you send them out to do what you put to their hands to do. Get into boldness." Brother, I appreciate what you're doing. You have that boldness, man, to help change a life in Jesus' name.
Well, you know, to be bold comes from having confidence. And confidence is the belief in one's ability or confidence in someone else's ability to lead and provide you with what you need to be successful. So I'm confident in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That when he commissioned me or anyone, that he also gives us the knowledge that we need and equips us with the power and the ability to be able to carry that out. Now you can step out with boldness and believe that you can make a difference. And so, you know, what I'm talking about here, and I guess the reason why I think sometimes I struggle is that sometimes I think that we feel like we have to come up with something new, or it has to be something, you know, earth shattering.
Oh, that is so true, bro. Oh, man, you said something now. There's nothing new under the sun until we realize that. Until we realize that. Some people say, "Well, somebody else is always." You know what? When I first started doing ministry, and I would propose things to certain people, and I would share a message, they said, "Well, somebody else is already doing that. Somebody else has done this before." I got to say, "Why can't I do this? Why can't I be a part of what they do? Why can't I just try it again if it don't work?" You know, people say, "No, we X marked the spot. That's the spot you gave up." You know, Jesus told us, told Mary, said, "Why didn't you lay it, man? Why didn't you give up on it, man?" There's a lot of X's laying along the roadside on this Christian journey, man. There's an X right there. There's an X. But I thank God for us walking past those X, brothers. Come on, man. You encourage me. I love this.
Right. And you know the word tells us that we shouldn't be so easily moved away from the simplicity of Christ. Well, that word simplicity implies easy to understand, and it's easy to understand because it's repetitive. You do the same thing over and over and over, and therefore it becomes habitual, part of the routine. You know, we're not looking for new days of the week, are we? It's always Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We got the same seasons, the same months, the same holidays. Why? Because those are the basic fabrics of the threads of life that provide us with our foundational issues, our infrastructure. Oh, you may occasionally trick something out, but most of the time, life is routine. And routine means that it provides the basic necessities and functions of life. So, you know what?
That is so simple. I wish that other people realized that. Eh? Sometimes you talk about you get bored, but this is routine. This is part of it. So you got to take that boredness, that routine, and make something out of it. You know, if nothing else, just be, be very thorough and proficient about your routine actions. I will put it that way. I like what you said. Sometimes we wake up and say, "Oh, we got to go through this again." That's life. That is life. So thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I'm going to stress, you know, United to Churches, which is under the umbrella of United Greater Dallas, is that, you know, we're, like I said, about 6 months into the birth of this initiative, and it's not to do anything that's new. It's to bring back the old, and that is the community of like-minded people who believe that we already possess everything we need to actually touch a life, and as you say, to change a life, to make a difference. And what I like about this organization is that it recognizes that its mission and power is in bringing together people and organizations of power and to provide a forum and to help identify and obtain the resources so that people can be equipped and to go out. And I'm going to stress this resources, you know, because you know they provide, you know, not only informational resources, you know, such as, you know, literature and community guides for addressing certain issues and how and where to find resources and how to plan and bring together your church and your members to form partnerships with other community organizations such as our school systems and our business communities and so forth. But and these partnership thing and caring relationships is what Christianity is all about, and providing the extra support that we need for those who are struggling. And so, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, get the information about how to not only contact United Churches, but how we can begin to partnership with one another through that organization, and to discover what opportunities and what information and what resources we can utilize to actually come back and empower the church in ways that it can begin to empower people in their community, and especially as it relates to our children, our young people, and our schools. You know, so for so long, we have isolated ourselves from our school system, dumping upon the school and the teachers to not only teach the ABCs of reading, writing, and math, but to also to teach our people you know, what is right and wrong, you know, the moral issues, and to empower them with ideals and concepts about faith or lack of faith, when that's our role, when we should be looking at how do we work with the schools to better form a network to create extended learning opportunities and support for our children beyond the school walls. How do we connect the church and school to homes and families to ensure that parents and children recognize that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. That there are not only organizations, but really people who really care in those organizations about what's going on in your life and so forth. So we got things like how to adopt a school, okay? And what kinds of things you can do, what does it require, and so forth. And once you begin to actually expose yourself to this kind of informational learning, you begin to realize it's a lot easier than what we think. Oftentimes we perceive something as a mountain when really it's only a mountain in our mind.
Yes, so
it's
true.
Our imagination. You know? And so we're trying to dispel these myths and help people to take a look at these ideals and practical ways that we can help, and then helping them take the next step. But here's what I found out, Joel, that if you can actually take someone who's not doing anything outside of themselves and their families and take them by the hand and get them exposed to and involved in something like feeding the homeless, doing outreach work, adopting a school, the reality of actually doing something will dispel the myth about what you believe about something, okay? Because the biggest hurdle to overcome is our own what? Imagination, ourselves.
So that is really so true. That is so true, Carl. When I started doing a jail ministry some time ago, I was scared to death because I had the a conception, an idea that, hey, I go in there, that these guys were going to abuse me, they were going to talk me, they were just going to just take advantage of me and challenge me at every turn. And I thought that, man. And I went in there and I found out, hey, those guys, they're eager to hear the gospel. Those guys,
right,
they read the Bible, but they didn't know how to apply it in their life. They told me, say, brother, I know the gospel in here, but when I get out there in the free world, man, I see that somehow I can't apply what I learned about Jesus out there. And I challenged them, to get with other men that had similar hardships and disappointments in their life and see how they manage in their way of life. I challenged them to get with organization, get with them a church and be involved in ministry, giving back. Don't be so eager to be the head. Just be, just be a part of the body, man. Because, guys get out there, they all fired up and on fire for the Lord. If they don't have a foundation, they're going to collapse.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And what we're doing is trying, like, one of the things I noticed that you do, which is critical, is that not only do you inform and educate through your Saturday morning internet radio show, but you encourage people to actually get out there and make a difference. Then you lead, and then you're in power. Okay? How you work with the street programs, the things you do now at the Family Life Foundation, you're actually creating opportunities so that people can volunteer and discover the joy and the power of actually making a difference. And so this is what we're doing. We're trying to do on a larger scale. It's what you've been doing all along. It's to see the opportunities that we have in the area, okay? And then to actually believe that you can make a difference. And then encouraging people to take the time to volunteer. For instance, a lot of small nonprofits and churches lack the manpower and the resources to do their own websites and all these other things. Well, through Unite the Churches, those resources can be provided. You can also utilize their website. They can help you design a website, and within a couple of hours, you can have all your volunteers and needs available on your own website or through Unite's website. And then it can be shared with all of your supporters and those that you're trying to reach. So we're not just talking about telling people what needs to be done. We're talking about helping people to actually get it done when you lack the manpower or the resources to develop or to ascertain the things that you need to make your services known or to make it known to the community that you have needs for volunteers and so forth. Okay. Now, I want to talk real quickly about something that we just finished within the community, and that was our summer feed program, which is one of the largest collective effort throughout the state that involves the schools, nonprofits, and churches. And that's making sure that during the summer that our children have adequate meals and nourishment, which is really an extension of the free lunch program that's provided for low-income or poverty-stricken families within our communities. And so we just finished that, and hopefully we're going to be able to encourage more churches to be involved by providing those meals through their locations and other kind of programs of support. Right now, we're getting ready to look at doing what we call the CAC LP, and that's the Child Adult Care Food Program. And that's an after-school program that provides not only nourishment, a meal for children, but it also requires an educational, a life skills or some type of tutoring or mentoring program for children and youth. And again, it's the state and other organizations recognizing that we have to create as many places as possible within our communities where children and families can actually access those services. We have a concept to talk about when you have something that people need, whether it's a business, a store, or whatever it is, there are two things that you have to address, and they're all related to one thing. And that one thing is location. And then you have to ask yourself with the location, is it available and is it accessible? So if we have more than one place where children can get their nutritional needs met, if we have more than one place where children can be taught and learn not only the basic things in life about reading, writing, arithmetic, but also the kinds of decisions and moral challenges that they're going to be confronted with in life. And so if we can do that by empowering churches, our community centers, our rec centers, and places like our YMCAs and our boys clubs, our parks, the more places that we have that can make available the resources that people need, then the better we're going to be in the position to actually bring about a real impact and transformation within our communities. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be actively trying to recruit and identify organizations who would like to provide for maybe an hour, one day a week, 2 days a week, 5 days a week, a setting where you can actually provide nourishment to our children and youth, and at the same time provide some type of programming that will equip our children with the knowledge and the abilities that they need to navigate these changing times and the demands that our society are placing on our children now at early age. And so I hope that I'll be able to work with you and others to get the necessary information out and to educate our churches and our nonprofit organizations in how they can be involved in our in the state's child and adult care food program that operates from September through June.
Mr. Fleming, give us some information on that, because I know that you said that you could there'll be assisting after school with meals for children and adults, and also providing some type of literacy training tutoring or something. Give us something that's just as simple as someone say, yeah, I could do that. Well, let's say make it cost effective. Because sometimes people say, well, that sounds like a challenge. Well, break it down in as simple as you can, some things that can be provided that we just overlook.
All right, here's one thing. First of all, if you want to be a part of not only the summer fleet program, but the year-round after-school program, and provide nourishment for the children in your community, you can do so at no cost, because the sponsoring agencies such as Zion Chapel Economic Development, which is operated through our church, Zion Chapel Primitive Baptist Church, we are a CE, a contracting entity, with the Texas Department of Agriculture. And as a result, we are an extension of their operation, and we are responsible for the actual purchase and preparation, the purchase of the foods and the preparation of the meals, which will be delivered to your site, where you can now dispense, okay, or distribute these meals to those children and youth in your neighborhood that you have informed and made aware of the fact that these services will be provided. The only thing you have to do now, in conjunction with us or the sponsoring agency, is decide whether you want to have a Bible-based class, whether you want to have a personal enrichment class where you work with children about decision-making or problem-solving, or if you want to talk about domestic violence, if you want to talk about peer pressure. It can be as simple as you providing some basic educational information and training to children and youth. It doesn't require any more than about maybe a maximum of 45 minutes during the time that you serve meals. If there's something educational or programming being offered, and the programming can be, as we said earlier, as simple as teaching them the ABCs of reading and writing, or sharing and discussing with them the kinds of challenges that they'll face in school, peer pressure, drug education, a variety of things. Okay. And
Now tell me, do you have to have professional people on staff?
No.
It is sort of like a life experience type a course that you can teach them. Because a lot of us have life experience, but we don't have the certificate to go along with those things. Can you do it on life experience, or do you have to have a professional, someone's professional on staff?
No professional training or certification required. It's based on life experiences, okay?
All right. That's great. See, so that way that takes down the barrier there. So you just listed. You don't have no excuse not to be a part of something like this. If God had put it in your heart, I want you to look around and say, hey, what would you have me to do? I thank you there, Minister Flynn. Let's go. Tell us a little more. We got a few more minutes here. This is a great topic, great discussion, and our call-in number is 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. You two could join in the conversation with myself and Minister Fleming. We're discussing the needs of the community. He gave us a lot of resource information. We ask you to follow up on that and make use of those numbers here. Help change a life in Jesus' name.
Right.
Okay,
Minister
Fleming.
And before I wrap up in a few minutes, I want to give the only number and name that they need to access. See, again, it's important for us to be a source of information, to be a clearinghouse for dissemination, because God says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So many of our community-based organizations and our smaller churches are not actually involved because they don't think they can and they don't think they have. And so what we're trying to do is empower not only individuals but organizations by giving them the information that they need so that they can begin to make a difference. Now, one of those organizations that we're working with is called Explore God. Okay? Because, again, as a Christian, I believe God is the answer to everything we face today. Okay?
Amen.
And God is being attacked and challenged. And when I say that, I'm talking about the concept of who God is and who God's people are. And so we live in a very, what I call, atheistic age and time, where it's popular. Some of the most best-selling books are books that talk about things like the God delusion and God is dead and so forth, and wanting to remove God from the public square, from our schools, from our workplace, and so forth. And then we begin to wonder and find ourselves amazed at all the craziness and the violence and the stuff that's going on as a result of that. So we're trying to find ways to help people understand who God is. And so there's this organization that's based out of Austin, Texas, called Explore God. Okay, and what they're doing is they're made up of writers and, you know, and storytellers and artists and filmmakers and theologians and entrepreneurs, people from all walks of life who are partnering and volunteering together, actually began to create forums throughout the country, as a matter of fact, around the world, where people can come together in diverse groups from different denominations and so forth to actually address these tough questions and trying to find credible information and answers to tough problem solutions in our times that result from people not knowing or not believing that there's a God who actually cares about his people and wants to make a difference in the lives of a people. And so, you know, they're forming local chapters and community groups so that we can talk about things about, you know, God, the purpose, and about suffering and who Jesus is and the Bible and religion and other kinds of topics. And we're identifying organizations and churches and individuals who want to be a talking point or place and who would be willing to take advantage of all the technical support and resources to create these forums and think tanks within your own community, you know, by advertising and sponsoring little workshops and seminars around who is God and what is the purpose of faith and is the Bible real? But these are questions that I find and encounter in my ministry and interaction with people from all walks of life, are these misconceptions about God and about faith and about Christians. And we're letting everybody but the people of God explain who God is and who we are. TV programs and these books written by non-believers. And so people are drawing the information about God and about the people of God from people who don't know God and don't like God.
So that is so true.
And so Explore God is an opportunity to get involved in educating people and addressing some of the deeper truths. You know, the Bible says this real quick. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, when we should be teaching the deep things of God, we're still in need of being taught the basic elementary principles all over again. Then it identifies the elementary principles. Repentance, faith in God, the baptism, laying on hands, the resurrection, and the judgment. And this is what we teach in our churches every Sunday, the same old thing, and we stay away from the tough things. You know, we don't know how to answer the questions that people who are struggling would come into faith, and people who question the importance of faith. We're not equipped to deal with those tough questions. As a result, we have abdicated our role and turned it over to the world, and the world doesn't care about God.
And that's so
we need
true.
To, again, take back ownership of the things that God has given to us to explain
Amen.
Who he is, who we are through him, and what we have through him. So all these things I talked about may seem disjointed, but they're all the same thing, a collaborative, collective effort to bring together the people of God, the organizations of God, the tools and resources of God, to be used by God's people to make a difference in God's world. And so all you got to do is remember this number, 214-900-4179. That's 214-900-4179 or 972-218-9789. And I will point you in the right direction. I will identify the organizations, the websites, the links, provide you with literature and all the resources, calendars, times and dates, where you can get involved, where you see the need, and where you want to make a difference. You can.
Well, amen. God bless you. What a great interview that we had this morning that with Minister Fleming. We're talking about us, about giving back to the community. He gave us a lot of information about the Dallas Feed the Hungry initiative that's going to be coming up here on September the 25th. He gave us some dates on that, and about United Churches, a coalition for bringing churches together to meet the needs of the community at large, and how the summer feeding program, how it was in effect and how it made a difference in the lives of y'all men. But that program had ended the summer, but yet they got another one going on for after school, feeding the kids and the senior citizens. So he gave us some information regarding that. We ask you to make use of all the numbers that he gave us for this here program. And as he was sharing those things, we pray that you've been encouraged, that you too have something to offer, that your gifting and your calling are irreversible. I'm going to say it again, that your gifting and your calling are irreversible. So make use of your gift. Make use of your calling. Do it for the kingdom. You hear me say it from all the time and from time to time. Help change your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Minister Fleming, for what you're sharing with us today. We pray that what you're doing is making a difference in the lives of God's people. As we get ready to get out of here, we'll be never leave you without giving you an opportunity to listen to more of these shows off Granny's for Granny's Place, Granny's Place Ministry, sponsored by Granny's Place and Beverly Beasley, the CEO of Granny's Place Ministry. We have a show Monday nights, my sister, my friend. Tuesday nights we have the Gregory Show, which is a young man, 12 years old, speaking about things that they're concerned with at a very young age. And on Wednesday night we have the Linda Jordan Prayer Ministry at Kingdom Call. Then on Thursday night we have a show that I Am a Survivor, with our dear sister Wanda, that's talking about domestic violence. And then on Friday nights we have Street Talk, youth ministry, that talks about young men and women issues. Then on Saturday morning you have yours truly, Minister Joy Lewis, with Free on the Inside. This morning we have been listening to Minister Fleming. He has shared with us some great information. We ask you to please make use of that. Minister Fleming, as we get ready to get out of here, we'd like for you to close us out in a word of prayer. We have our phone line lit up right now. Thank you, callers, for calling in. We don't have time to get to you this morning, but join us next weekend, and you too can join the conversation. Minister Fleming.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. We thank you, Father, that you looked down throughout the ages and before the formation of the world, you saw us and you recognized our need and you provided the way. Father God, we ask, O Lord, that you will open our minds and enlighten the eyes of our heart, that we come to understand not only who you are, but who we are to you and what we have through you to actually make a difference not only in our lives, but the lives of those people whose paths you enable us to cross. Father God, help us to tap into the unlimited resources that you have made available for those who want to be a follower of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize, O Lord, that we have not only the knowledge, but we have the power by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to actually turn down the walls and the strongholds, breaking yokes, enabling the people to rise up and to go free and to discover the power that comes from living the life in a perfect union and fellowship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that those who hear what you had to say, O Lord, through the ministry of our minister and brother Joel Lewis, and through the resources that I have come into contact with through my ministries, that people will utilize them, O Lord, and that they will bring glory to your name by edifying your people. These things we ask, Father God, in the perfect name and the powerful name of your Son, our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen. Till we meet again, be strong in the Lord. You've been listening to Free on the Inside. Amen. Be a blessing to someone. In the name of Jesus.